तस्मिन् अभिज्ञायति विश्वमात्मनो द्वारं निरुज्यासु मनन्यया धिया लोकानिरुच्छ्वासनि पिब्धिता भृशाम् स लोकपाला शरणं ययोर्हरिम्
When Dhruva Maharaj became practically one in heaviness with Lord Vishnu, the total consciousness, due to his fully concentrating and closing all the holes of his body, the total universal breathing became choked up, and all the great demigods in all the planetary systems felt suffocated and thus took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When hundreds of persons are sitting in an airplane, although they remain individual units, they each share the total force of the airplane, which runs at thousands of miles per hour. Similarly, when unit energy is identified with the service of the total energy, the unit energy becomes as powerful as the total energy. As explained in the previous verse, Dhruva Maharaj, because of his spiritual advancement, became almost the total heaviness, and thus he pressed down the whole earth. Moreover, by such spiritual power, his unit body became the total body of the universe. Thus, when he closed the holes of his unit body to firmly concentrate his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the units of the universe, namely all the living entities, including the big demigods, felt the pressure of suffocation, as if their breathing were being choked. Therefore, they all took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they were perplexed as to what had happened. This example of Dhruva Maharaj's closing the holes of his personal body and thereby closing the breathing holes of the entire universe clearly indicates that a devotee, by his personal devotional service, can influence all the people of the whole world to become devotees of the Lord. If there is only one pure devotee in pure Krishna consciousness, he can change the total consciousness of the world into Krishna consciousness. This is not very difficult to understand if we study the behavior of Dhruva Maharaj. Makyanti midandasya gyananjana chalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai sri guruve namaha sri chaitanya mano bhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam tadati svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru, Sri Yudha Patakamalam, Sri Guru, Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam, Sagrajatam, Sahagana, Raghunatham Vitam, Tham Sajivam,
sadvaitam, savadutam, parijana sahitam, krishna chaitanya devam, sri radha krishna patan, sahagana lalita, sri vishakanvitam cha. Hey krishna karuna sindhu, dinabandhu jagatpate, gopesha gopika kanta, radha kanta namostate, tapta kanchana gaurangi, radhe vrindavaneshwari, vrishabhanu sute devi, pranamami hari priye, vancha kalpata dubhyascha, kripa sindubhya evacha, patithanam bhavanibhyo, vaishnavebhyo namo namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna
When Dhruva Maharaj became practically one in heaviness with Lord Vishnu, the total consciousness, due to his fully concentrating and closing all the holes of his body, the total universal breathing became choked up, and all the great demigods and all the planetary systems became suffocated, and thus took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is revealing the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we hear of the intricate details of the glories of the Lord, we gain a greater understanding of his infinite opulences. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yobeti tatvata tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mameti sorjana. One who understands the transcendental nature of the appearance and activities of the Lord attains the eternal abode of the Lord, never to take birth in this material world again. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of descriptions of the all-attractive nature of Krishna. How he manifests through his energies the material and spiritual worlds is the most important subject matter to discuss. We hear how God is great, but how great is God? This is the subject of the Vedic literatures. Dhruva Maharaj, a tiny 5-year-old child, he went to the forest on the instruction of his mother. There he met Narada Muni. He surrendered to the instructions of Narada Muni. And within 5 months, he was able to completely absorb himself in undeviating meditation on the form, the qualities of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu is here empowering Dhruva Maharaj in such a magnificent way. The Lord chose a tiny child to manifest his opulences through. Dhruva Maharaj was so absorbed in Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu empowered him so that he could control the breath of the universe. Here we find that the greatest of the demigods, they were suffocating. They could not breathe. And they did not know why. They were bewildered. Because Dhruva Maharaj was literally, when he closed the doors of his body, he contained the oxygen, the prana, the ability to breathe for the whole universe. There was no air. Everyone was suffocating. How is this possible for a small child? This is a great science. It's possible because he was empowered by the inconceivable potencies of the Lord. When Dhruva Maharaj, the first month during his austerities, he only ate some fruit every 3 days. Kapita fruit, which is usually only eaten by monkeys. Of course, Krishna and cowherd boys, they used to eat kapita fruits in Vrindavan also. This is described in Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj was in Vrindavan. Every 3 days eating little fruit, monkey fruit. Second month, every 6 days, he would only take the dry grass and leaves that fell on the ground. Third month, every 9 days, he would drink little water from the Jamuna. Fourth month, every 12 days, he would take one breath. Now we're reading about what's happening in the fifth month. He's standing on one leg, motionless like a pillar. He's so completely absorbed, fixed in his mind on concentration on the form of Lord Vishnu that he's in the trance of samadhi. In that samadhi, Lord Vishnu is personally manifesting his opulences through Dhruva Maharaj. So heavy that this little child, only this big, is pushing down with one toe half the universe. By holding his breath, he's actually withholding the air of the planetary systems within the universe. Is it Dhruva Maharaj doing it?
Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasya.
It is Krishna doing it through him. What power does a 5-year-old child have to do these things? But Krishna is manifesting a great miracle through him. For what purpose? Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this purport. Most important thing to understand, Krishna is withholding the air of the universe within the body of Dhruva Maharaj to make people Krishna conscious. Because Prabhupada says the big demigods, they couldn't breathe. You know, the demigods are often karma mishra bhaktas. They have devotion. They want to serve. But oftentimes they become very much implicated and complicated by their extensive management responsibilities and by the environment of the heavenly planets, which provides tremendous quantities of enjoyment. So they are distracted. But when you can't breathe, you can't manage, you can't enjoy, you can't live. In that state, they understood they had no power even to breathe. What a wonderful pastime. Little Dhruva Maharaj has the power to control the air of the whole universe, and the demigods, who are the controllers of the universe, can't even control their own ability to breathe. What a wonderful reversal. The controllers have no control, and a small child who had no control has all control. Just 5 months before, he had no control. He wanted to get on the lap of his father, and his mother said, "Get out." And his father didn't say a word. So he had no control over his providence. He was simply a victim, and he was suffering miserably, and he had no control to contain his suffering. So he took shelter of Krishna in the forest under the instructions of his spiritual masters, his mother and Narada Muni. And that little tiny child is now controlling the universe, and the demigods who control the universe are completely helpless. What is Krishna trying to tell us? This is not just a story, this is a lesson. Krishna is trying to tell us that he is Ishvara Parama. He is the supreme controller. He can give, he can take as he desires. He can empower, he can disempower. Punar Mushtaka Bhava. He could make a mouse into a lion or a lion into a mouse. That is according to his own free will. So the demigods are really being humbled. They have such big, vast intelligence, but they couldn't figure out, through all their investigations, why no one could breathe. In such a urgent situation, they had to come to Vishnu. There was no one else to turn to. Sometimes preachers give the example that you should chant the holy names. You should pray to the Lord the same in with the same sense of urgency as if you cannot breathe and you absolutely depending on that breath. You're held under the water. You cannot breathe. There is nothing more valuable in all of creation than a breath. If you were held underwater, even a great, great demigod like Indra, he would be willing to trade all of his Nandana gardens, his Parijata trees. He would be willing to trade his beautiful mansions. He would probably even be willing to trade Urvasi, the most beautiful damsel in his society of apsaras, for one breath. That's how precious air is. Of course, we take things for granted. We're just breathing. How many breaths have you taken today? Can you even approximate? We just breathe, totally unconsciously. Of course, if any of you have ever had a severe asthma attack, you realize how precious air is. You don't understand the value of something until you don't have it. That holds true even with people we love. The tragedy of the world is generally people don't really recognize how important and how loved someone is until they die. Because we're just so preoccupied. We're so distracted by so many so-called important things. So, when you take devotees for granted, when you take the gifts of God for granted, then you're not actually Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness means to actually be conscious of Krishna and how his energies are working and how his devotees are helping you. This is Krishna consciousness. So the great demigods, they actually became very, very Krishna conscious because they were on the verge of death. Nothing else was important but some breath. Now what is breath? You can't see it. Air, oxygen. It's almost as if it's not there. Such a subtle energy. But yet it's sustaining all life. Amongst the material, gross energies of the Lord, Pumir Apo Nalo Vayu Kamano Buddha Evacha. The air which we're breathing is so subtle. If it's not a windy day, we can't even feel it. But it's sustaining our life at every second. It's nourishing us. If you don't have proper oxygen supply, your brain dysfunctions, all your organs dysfunction, and ultimately you die. And that's not even the subtlest of the gross elements. Subtler than air is ether. Subtler than ether is the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. How wonderful Krishna is sustaining all that lives. But that invisible air we don't even think about, we are totally dependent on. And the only time we think about it is if we don't have it. Actually, a devotee with every breath should be remembering Krishna with gratitude. The demigods, they all ran to Krishna. We don't know what's happening, but we can't breathe. Please save us. In this way, Krishna, through Dhruva Maharaj, is preaching and making the world Krishna conscious. It is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita the various ways that the Lord personally appears to make people Krishna conscious. And this is one of them. It is called Avesh. There is Saksha Darshan. There is Avibhava and Avesh. Saksha Darshan is when the Lord appears on this world and gives His personal direct darshan to the devotees or to the people in general. And simply by seeing Him, they become Krishna conscious. Just like in Navadvip, we read about Srivas Thakur. He had a Mohammedan tailor who helped sew his clothes. And because somehow or other he was dear to Srivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was once dancing, and this tailor saw him. As soon as he saw him, just by seeing the beautiful ecstatic symptoms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his heart became inundated with eternal ecstatic love. He began dancing in ecstasy, shouting out, "I have seen, I have seen." That is Saksha Darshan. In Sri Jagannath Puri Dham, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in Rath Yatra, everyone in Puri was simply looking at him. And anyone who saw him attained the ultimate perfection of Krishna Prema. The devotees, the pandas and the priests of the Jagannath Temple, the residents of Puri, the pilgrims, the visitors, everyone and anyone who saw Lord Chaitanya dancing became so attracted to him that it completely purified their hearts of all materialistic designations, and they attained the perfection of pure Krishna consciousness. That is Saksha Darshan. We see here Jarikanda forest. The elephants, the tigers, the snakes, the deers, the creepers, the trees, the grass, the insects. Anyone that saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing, due to that Saksha Darshan, they became ecstatic with love of God. They were all chanting, they were all dancing spontaneously. The Lord comes to this world specifically for the purpose of attracting people to His divine loving service. There is also Avirbhava, where in His own mystical way, although physically He appears to be in a different place, He inconceivably appears before His devotee to deliver them, to give them ecstatic love. There are four places where this Avirbhava would always take place. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, Sachi Devi, she had such love. She was his mother. Her husband had died. Her eldest son disappeared, took sannyas. She never heard from him again. All she had in her life was Lord Gauranga. It is explained that in Navadvip, she would go blind in spiritual agony if she didn't see the beautiful face of Nimai for even a few minutes. But Lord Chaitanya took sannyas in order to give the world Krishna consciousness. But he never forgot his mother. When he met her in Shantipur, she was weeping, and he was weeping. He sat on her lap, sannyasi, and told her, I made a big mistake. I never should have left you. I had no right. You have given me everything. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Damodar Pandit once that whatever devotion I have is only due to the mercy of my mother. Whatever understanding of Krishna I have is only what my mother has given me. This is how he's actually thinking. This is the nature of his gratitude to his mother's devotion. A devotee gives all credit to Krishna. And here we find Krishna giving all credit to his devotee. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to compensate for his mother's sorrow, anytime she cooked at the Yoga Pit in Sri Navadvip Dham, he would personally come and she would see him eating. Or even if she didn't see him, he would eat. And the food would be gone. Sometimes in ecstasy she would offer her the food to her deity. But for Mother Sachi, she couldn't do anything without pleasing Nimai. So as she was offering the food, she would just be praying, Nimai, please take this food. And he would personally, literally, he would appear in her house. Not just through some supernatural energy that he made the food disappear. He actually appeared in a spiritual form and sat right there and ate the food. She would go on the altar and see there was nothing there. So she would begin to think, what happened? There's no food here. In her ecstasies, she would begin to contemplate that perhaps I forgot to put any food on the plates, and I offered empty plates. So she brought the plates back to the kitchen and filled them up with bhoga and offered it again. Lord Chaitanya told Damodar Pandit, tell Sachi Mata about this. Does she remember doing this? It's because I personally came there to eat her food. She should know, any time she cooks for me, I appear and eat everything she cooks. That is avirbhav. Similarly, whenever Nityananda Prabhu would dance, Mahaprabhu, in his ecstatic love, conquered by the love of his devotee, would appear in that place. We read in Panihati, Nityananda Prabhu was dancing, and by his merciful glance, he was inducing everyone to dance. He was empowering everyone with incredible potencies. And at one point in the kirtan, He asked the devotees,
"What do you smell?"
The devotees were intoxicated. They were smelling the rich, fragrant scent of Dhammanaka flowers. They said, "My Lord, everywhere it's permeated with the smell of Dhammanaka flowers. But Dhammanaka flowers don't grow in Bengal. They only grow in Puri. How is this possible?" Lord Nityananda Prabhu revealed the truth. He said, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to be present during this kirtan, he has personally appeared as a Dhammanaka tree. He actually incarnated as a Dhammanaka tree. And they couldn't see it, but it was there. And that Dhammanaka tree, which was the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had unlimited flowers spreading its fragrance everywhere." This is an example of how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will appear personally whenever Nityananda Prabhu danced. Whenever there was kirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally present. And whenever Raghava Pandit and his sister Damayanti cooked in their house on the bank of the Ganges in Panihati, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would manifest himself and personally accept all the offerings that they made. This is called Avirbhava. What we are reading about today is the third category. It is called Avesh. Avesh means that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to preach the message of pure devotional service, in order to attract people's love, he personally appears within his devotee by empowering them. Example given by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was a very great devotee. He had such a pure heart. He was constantly absorbed in remembering Krishna. He was an ocean of compassion. His name was Nakula Brahmachari. Nakula Brahmachari, because of his genuine desire to preach, because of his complete surrender to the will of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord actually inspired Nakula Brahmachari with his own personal presence. Nakula Brahmachari had the same resplendent effulgence on his body as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he exhibited the exact same symptoms of ecstasy as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was as if he was haunted by a ghost. For those of you who believe in ghosts, you know, according to shastras, that when a ghost enters your body, they actually take control of you. They take the driver's seat. And you have to go where they take your body. That's what it means to be haunted. They actually control you. They actually make you sometimes mad. Sometimes they make you violent. Sometimes they make you just totally crazy. So Nakula Brahmachari was haunted by a ghost, by the ghost of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. or what the Christians would call the Holy Ghost.
Therefore, Nakula Brahmachari, he would, like a madman, he would sometimes laugh. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would sometimes laugh hysterically for 8 continuous hours.
Hare Krishna.
Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could do that. Actually, you know, I don't know if you have in India. I think you do, because in Jaipur I saw that they were doing like this. But they actually have laughing contests. Who could laugh the longest continuously? Have you seen? And they actually give awards. And I don't think anybody could laugh for more than a few hours at a time. Max, or even... And you actually have to laugh. You can't just be... You have to really... It has to be hysterical laughing. If you do it for more than a couple hours, you'll die. But there's also something called laughing therapy, which is a very modern form of alternative medicine, where they say that laughing actually stimulates every part of your body in such a way that it could heal sicknesses. Sometimes people with cancer, they go to the place and they just, the therapy is they just make them laugh as much as possible. Hare Krishna. And people who are depressed, laughing has the therapeutic value. So a person who laughs a lot is considered a very, very good person. Yes? But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is absolute supreme in every sense. Therefore, Mahaprabhu would hysterically laugh for sometimes 8 hours continuously. And it was so contagious that everyone would be rolling on the ground laughing. He wasn't even saying anything. He was just laughing. See? You laughed for about 3 or 4 seconds. That's the most I can get from you. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Nakula Brahmachari so he could just laugh with the same power and the same humor and the same intensity as the Lord himself. And then he would cry. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes cry for 8 hours, hysterically, intensely. Not just crying like us. There would literally be rivers of tears flowing from his eyes. And Nakula Brahmachari would dance. Dance ecstatically. And he would chant the holy names like a madman. As he was dancing, his limbs would tremble, perspire, hair standing on end. He would become stunned, paralyzed. These ecstatic symptoms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were the ultimate manifestation of love. When he would become stunned, every limb in his body would be as hard and stiff, as immovable as wood, dry wood. Or at other times, every limb would become as soft as fresh butter. Nakula Brahmachari was manifesting those same symptoms. And wherever he went, crowds and crowds of people would come to see him. And he would give them all the same message.
to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Rama, Hare. And just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling in South India, he would just tell people to chant the holy names, and by following his instructions and seeing him, everyone he met became pure devotees. Nakula Brahmachari had that potency. Shivananda Sen heard about this. He became doubtful. Is it actually possible that Lord Gauranga is personally present, inspiring the love of Nakula Brahmachari? He decided to see for himself. If Nakula Brahmachari can find me in a large crowd, and if he can tell me the secret mantra that I worship, then I will accept without a doubt that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally within his body empowering him to preach. There was a gathering. So many people coming and going. Nakula Brahmachari, he was in a place where many, many of the people, they couldn't even see him. There were crowds just trying to somehow get a glimpse of his beautiful, effulgent form and hear him chanting and see him dancing. Shivananda Sen was hiding in the outskirts. Inspired from within, Nakula Brahmachari four or six of you should go search for him. So all these devotees of Nakula Brahmachari, they were just roaming through this loud, large crowd, loudly crying out, Shivananda Sen! Shivananda Sen! Shivananda Sen! Are you here? Where are you? Nakula Brahmachari wants to see you. Shivananda Sen heard this. He became very happy. He came to Nakula Brahmachari and sat down beside him. Nakula Brahmachari looked at him and spoke. Said that you are chanting the four-syllable Gopal mantra. Now please give up your doubts. Shivananda Sen could understand without doubt that yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally present, manifesting his omnipotent ecstasies in Nakula Brahmachari. This is Avesh. In the Christian religion, we see Lord Jesus Christ. Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda as well, they proclaim that Jesus Christ was a Shaktivesh avatar. He was performing various miracles. Somehow or other, to induce faith in these people, he would do some things. As far as I remember, the first miracle was there was a marriage, some relative, and there was so many guests, they were serving grape juice. They call it wine, but actually it was grape juice. So they were serving this wine, and they ran out. And the host of the wedding was very, very much disturbed because to not properly serve your guests is a great misfortune. So in the house, everyone was in tremendous anxiety. So Lord Jesus said, go look in the pot. It was a big, big, that pot is still there. I've seen it. It's a big stone pot they used to store it. They looked in and it was filled. So they surrendered to Jesus. Arrivo. Because he produced so much wine. Sometimes he would walk on water. Sometimes he would give sight to blind people. Or he would make lame men walk. There was even someone named Lazarus who was dead. And he said, rise. And he got up and started walking around. And when they asked Lord Jesus, how do you have this power? He said, it's not my power. This is not my power. It is the power of the Father in heaven who sent me. So when our acharyas say he was Shaktyavesha Avatar, this is what it means. He was empowered according to time, place, and circumstance to give a particular level of realization to those people. Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Vina Nahitara Pravartana. Balabha Bhattacharya spoke these words. That unless one is Avesh, unless one is specially empowered by Krishna, one cannot spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. Thus, some of the very, very great Vaishnavas of Gaudiya Math, they proclaim that Prabhupada indeed was Shaktivesh Avatar. A true definition of the words. In his prayers of Jaladutta, we were discussing yesterday, we can understand how he was a Shaktivesh Avatar. He prayed to Krishna, Nachao, Nachao, make me dance as your puppet. A puppet simply moves and speaks according to the will of the puppeteer. At Radha Gopinath Temple, during children's programs, sometimes we have these puppet shows, yes? And the puppets are moving and the puppets are talking. But we know, actually, the puppet's not moving and talking. Inside the puppet is someone's hand. And that hand is moving them. And they're going like this, and they're going like this, and they're going like this. And inside, there's behind that puppet, there's somebody speaking through its mouth. Mouth is moving and someone's speaking. Prabhupada was praying to be a puppet like that in the hands of his guru and Krishna. And Krishna made Srila Prabhupada his puppet to perform his will in this world through him. Sakshadaritvena samasta sastra. That is why we see the Guru as God. We understand the Guru is eternally the servant of God, but we understand God's potency is coming through him. One time, some Newsweek magazine, I believe it was, they asked Prabhupada if he was a pure devotee. And Prabhupada said, whether I'm a pure devotee or not a pure devotee, because I'm simply repeating the words of my spiritual master, anyone who hears my words and follows these instructions will become a pure devotee. He was Shaktivesh. He was simply allowing the flow of Krishna's mercy to emanate from his words, from his actions, to inspire people to become Krishna conscious. So Krishna empowers different types of devotees in different types of ways to preach. Srila Prabhupada was, they asked, "Can you show me a miracle, Swamiji?" And Prabhupada turned to his American disciples sitting at his lotus feet. He said, "This is my miracle. If somebody has some, it's not a vaish to make some gold or produce some watch or make some ashes or read someone's minds. That's just a mystic power. Ultimately, everything's coming from Krishna. But those mystic powers are material. When we speak about avesh, that means the spiritual substance of Krishna is manifesting through someone. So people who claim to be God and who are worshipped by as God because they have some mystical power, they are not shaktivesh. Because even asuras have these powers. We read about Ravana. His 10 heads, they all disappeared, and he became a one-headed rishi. And he was able to fly in the sky. When he stole Sita, he had this siddhi where he was flying in the sky. There's one very popular yogi who teaches people through years and years and years of meditation and various intensive processes, they could levitate. And what is their levitation? You know, they actually could do it. But, you know, they go up, they're meditating, they just go up maybe 4, 5, 6 inches off the ground. But they can't stay there for long. Due to gravity, they have to come down again. Oh, Ravana, he was flying. He flew from Nasik to Sri Lanka. That's serious levitation. With a passenger, Sita. At first he caused his asses on the chariot to fly. But then Jatayu killed all the asses and broke the chariot to pieces, so Ravana just picked her up and flew himself. Haribo, self-sufficiency. So that is not Shaktivesh. That is just due to some tapasya. He's developed some powers. And actually, some people are born with such powers due to previous lives. And they are claimed to be God. But when they asked Srila Prabhupada, "Can you show me a miracle?" He said, "This is my miracle." That these people were addicted to all kinds of sinful activities. They had no real faith in God. And now they are living as genuine Vaishnavas. Now their every act, word, and thought is in pursuance of pleasing Krishna. "I have made hippies into happies. This is my miracle." That's real. That miracle can only come about if one is empowered by Krishna. Actually, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. They asked him, "How do we know who's a Vaishnava?" And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a series of answers. But his ultimate answer, which describes the highest platform of a Vaishnava, is he said, "Anyone who sees him will become inspired to chant the holy names.
That means Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is personally manifesting himself and inspiring that devotee like a puppet to do his will. So Dhruva Maharaj was in this situation, he was avesh. It wasn't him. It wasn't him that was heavy as the universe. It was Vishnu that's heavy as the universe. And Vishnu just manifested his weight in Dhruva. Vishnu manifested his weight to push the whole world down through the tiny little big toe of Dhruva Maharaj. And then Krishna, who is the controller of all the elements and who's giving all power to the demigods. Vayu is in charge of wind.
Yes.
Vayu also means air, does it not? So Vayu is supervising this. Krishna took all power away from Vayu and gave it all to Dhruva Maharaj. By his will. And Dhruva Maharaj didn't even know it. He wasn't trying. He wasn't trying to control the air of the universe. He was simply doing one thing, concentrating on Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, taking full shelter of the order of his spiritual master. Because he surrendered utterly to the order of his spiritual master, Krishna was manifesting to him. It wasn't because of his meditation. It wasn't because of his austerities. These are all secondary. The primary reason why Vishnu appeared in Dhruva Maharaj is because he surrendered to the order of his spiritual master. And his fasting and his standing like a pillar on one toe and his not breathing, they were all just the external acts of trying to obey the order of his spiritual master. But you can't see Krishna by doing those things, because Hiranyakashipu did the similar, didn't he? He was something like Dhruva Maharaj. He was standing in one place on his tiptoes. Dhruva Maharaj was just there for a month. Yes? But Hiranyakashipu, he was on his tiptoes for hundreds of celestial years. With his arms raised. Without eating, without drinking, without sleeping. And ultimately he wasn't breathing either. And he became so powerful that there was fire blazing out of his head. And he didn't even have a head, it was just a skull. He was inside an anthill, and the ants were just eating his flesh away. There was no flesh, there was no muscle. The ants even drank all his blood. All there was this skeleton with his arms raised. With his tiptoes on the ground. But somehow or other, by his powers, he could keep his life air circulating through his bones. He didn't even have a heart. He didn't even have a brain. But the subtle body was able to perfectly exist within his bones. That means he had mind, intelligence, ego, and everything else. And such power! The flames were going so high that
again, the demigods, thought that they were going to be destroyed. They ran to Lord Brahma, "Save us! We're burning to death! It's too hot! Can't tolerate it." But he was not Shaktyavesh. He had just simply developed mystic potencies. So it wasn't due to Dhruva's austerities that he was seeing Vishnu. It was because he surrendered to the order of his spiritual master. And these were the austerities his spiritual master gave him. He told him to make a deity on the bank of the Jamuna, to bathe in the Jamuna 3 times a day, to worship that deity, to constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. And he explained to him the beautiful form of the Lord and told him to constantly meditate on that form. And gradually, step by step, to become completely absorbed and give up all bodily functions. Actually, the same result can be achieved in its own way by performing the austerity of following the 4 regulative principles. That's the order of the spiritual master. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. There are atheists that follow those 4 regulative principles too. They don't develop bhakti by the process. But if you do it because it's the words of Krishna coming through parampara, then simply by doing that will awaken bhakti in your heart. This is the Acharya's explanation of the power of Dhruva Maharaj. Narada Muni was a great spiritual master. Such disciples. To Valmiki Muni, he empowered him to be able to actually see the entire Leela of Lord Ramchandra within his heart, exactly as it appears on earth. That is Shaktyavesh. To Sanjay. Sanjay had the power, by the mercy of Krishna, to actually see the battle of Kurukshetra. He was right there to dictate verbatim the words of Krishna. Now, Hastinapur to Kurukshetra, by driving car it takes about 3 hours. At the Jyotisar, the ancient banyan tree that is still there, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita under that tree. And from Hastinapur, Sanjay is seeing it all by the power of Krishna. So this is the scientific understanding of the nature of Dhruva Maharaj's power. Withholding the air of the universe within the body of Dhruva. And two very, very wonderful effects came about by doing this. One is it woke up his devotees, the demigods, from their complacency, and they realized that actually I have no power. People worship the demigods for being so graced, but Krishna, through a little 5-year-old boy, could make it so they cannot even breathe. Krishna tells us in Gita that people who have intelligence that is adulterated by material desires, They worship demigods and perform various rules and regulations according to their nature. But Krishna explains that all the power of the demigods is coming from me. Everything emanates from me. I am the cause of all causes. Even the greatest of the demigods, Mahadev, Shiva. When Vrikasura went to kill him, with the benediction he received from Shiva, whoever's head I touch will crack. Shiva gave him that boon, so he chased after Shiva. Shiva ran away and ultimately had to take shelter of Krishna to save him. Mohini Murti, she completely bewildered Mahadev, who's the ultimate emblem of renunciation and abstinence. Just to show the world that all powers, all virtues are ultimately coming only from him. If you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. If you satisfy Krishna, automatically every demigod is fully nourished. How many demigods are there? 33 crores. And you owe every single one of them some debt. It will take a long time to pay off that debt. However, if you surrender to Krishna, then all debts are removed. Everything is fulfilled. Because Krishna is the source of everything. So this is a great lesson that Krishna is teaching us through this wonderful verse today. Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarvapapebhyo moksha ishame masucha. Just abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Shruva Maharaj surrendered exclusively to Krishna. Thus, Krishna is using him to humble all the demigods and bring them all to worship Krishna's lotus feet in utter desperation. And Krishna also is manifesting his powers through Dhruva Maharaj to glorify his devotee. Just like Krishna, in his Virat Rupa, in 11th canto of Gita, he showed Arjuna. Within seconds, he could annihilate the entire Kuru army. But I want to do it through you. I want to give you the credit. Krishna loves his devotee, and he loves those who love his devotees. Dhruva Maharaj is eternally glorified by the Lord because he surrendered everything to Krishna. And that is the essence of what is being spoken in this beautiful verse today. Is there any questions? Yes, Mataji.
Oh, Manager, talking about following the regulative principles and Dhruva Maharaj being empowered by Vishnu. So, in our devotional life, how do we know that devotees, some devotees, they follow regulative principles and they're able to fast and do so many devotional service? And like, you may be out of envy, or maybe because we are contaminated and conditioned, we may be exaggerating, seeing fault in them. How we know that, how can we protect ourselves, knowing that this is a person who's been empowered by Krishna, or it is just that, because they can also attract so many other people because of their austerity. So my question is, how can we protect ourselves from committing any offense to genuine devotees?
We should know that to be envious of a devotee is actually to be envious of Krishna. Because what we're envious of is the qualities that Krishna is manifesting through that devotee. Our spiritual advancement does not simply come through our austerities. It comes through our devotion. There is that wonderful story that Vrindavan Das Thakur explains of the Brahmin. He was a brahmachari. And throughout his life, he only drank little milk. Perfect celibate. Very austere. Day after day he would beg Srivas Thakur, if only one time I could see the dance of Lord Gauranga, my life will be perfect. But Lord Chaitanya would not allow anyone but his intimate associates in the kirtan. But one day Srivas felt very compassionate, and he said, this evening I will hide you in my house and you will see the dance of the Lord. So Srivas personally hid him in a secret place. Mahaprabhu came. The kirtan began. He was dancing in ecstasy. Then stopped the kirtan. He said, I am not feeling Krishna's love. There must be someone here who does not belong. Tell me. Srivas Thakur could not lie to the Lord. He said, my Lord, there are no atheists here. There are no gross materialists here. But there is one brahmachari. But he's very pure in heart. He's a celibate from birth. And he only drinks milk. Lord Chaitanya was furious. He lifted up his arms and said, get him out of here immediately. I will rip that rascal to pieces. I will destroy him. It is not by drinking milk that one can see me. It is not by any amount of austerities that one could see me. It's only by humility and devotion. What austerities did Gajendra perform? He was just a big elephant who was a grihasta. He was just always with his wives and his children elephant, and he was enjoying with them, splashing water and everything like that. What austerities did Gajendra do? But he surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with utter humility. Therefore, he saw the Lord directly. What austerities did the gopis of Vrindavan perform? They were churning butter, living nicely in Vrindavan. But because of their devotion, they see me. Therefore, I say it is not by any amount of austerities that one can ever see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's only by devotion. get him out. So the brahmachari was very much shocked. So he walked out of the house. As he was walking, he was thinking, the Lord has given me proper punishment. But still, for a few moments, I got to see him. But he knows my mind, and he has given me the proper atonement. Because he was humble, because when the Lord punished him, when the Lord criticized him, he didn't get angry, he was grateful. He didn't think the Lord does not understand me. He was thinking, I'm most fallen. He understands how fallen I am. Therefore, he has given me the proper medicine by severely chastising me, by threatening to destroy me and rip me to pieces because of my disqualifications. How grateful he was. The Lord is right. He's all merciful. This is humility. Because he was humble, because he accepted the mercy of the Lord even in such a harsh, embarrassing form, the Lord called him back. It wasn't because he only drank milk. It wasn't because of his celibacy. It was because he humbled himself with devotion before the Lord. The Lord called him back and placed his feet on the brahmachari's head and accepted him as one of his own personal associates and told him, it is not through austerities, it is only by pure devotional service that you can please me. Factually, there are impersonalists who perform very severe austerities. But we are not impressed by that. We are impressed by humility and devotion. And we should not envy people that have humility and devotion. We should see the grace of God manifesting in those qualities. We should be inspired and want to serve such persons for our purification. If envy arises in our heart, we understand it's not any fault of his, it's my own anartas being stimulated by something. And we should not follow the dictations of our anartas. We should follow the dictation of Krishna. That is the process by which we can transcend and purify our anartas. But also, we have to have the power of discrimination to understand really what is something. What are the qualities that we should really look up to and adore? If a person performs austerities in a humble spirit to purify themselves, then we look up to that very much. If a person doesn't do that, but they have qualities, they're always... Actually, Srila Prabhupada, he did not really put much emphasis on all of these austerities. The austerity he wanted us to do is to be steady in our devotional service. The greatest austerity is Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. That austerity will bring you Krishna. Doing nirjala is not going to bring you Krishna. But if doing nirjala is personally helping you, to actually become purified, to actually put more attention and concentration on chanting the holy names, helping you become more humble and respectful and devotional, then that's very good. We accept what's favorable for devotional service and we reject what's unfavorable. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, some of his brahmacharis were doing nirjal and there was preaching engagements. They were too weak to preach. He said, you eat and you go. This is austerity. To do what pleases the spiritual master and Krishna. Does that answer your question? So we should end here because it is over time. Sometimes I go over time. What to do? It is. This is an austerity for you. Actually, sitting through one of my classes is probably equal to the austerity of Dhruva Maharaj. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.